My full name is Kathleen Sharon Mullane.
Okay. And when did you come to St. Mary's?
I started in August, on August 1st, 1973.
So how did you come to St. Mary's?
I was 25. I had taught 3 years of high school as a phys ed teacher, and in those days, when you taught phys ed, you wanted to be the world's greatest coach. So when the opportunity came up at university to coach basketball and field hockey, I jumped at the chance. Okay. So I was 25.
Wow. And were you recruited by Bob Hayes?
No, actually, how I found out about the job was through Al Keith, who was a football coach at the time. I was at a Sport Nova Scotia meeting, probably was president of Field Hockey Nova Scotia at the time, and Al Keith was there representing football Nova Scotia, and he knew that I had coached a junior varsity field hockey, and he knew me from that, so he came over and told me that St. Mary's were going to hire a full-time coach.
Okay.
And so that's sort of how I found out about it, and then I applied. And was interviewed by Bob Hayes and Owen Carrigan at the time for the position.
So what was it? You were a player of field hockey and basketball in Dalhousie, right?
Yes.
What was it like to come from there where there's a program fully built up and you sort of had to come in and start it up over here?
Well, there's different things. First of all, when you go to Dalhousie, you don't really like St. Mary's, especially in those days. There was more of a rivalry in the male sports. So as a child, my brothers went to St. Mary's, and I was a real St. Mary's fan. Then I went to Dell, and I became a very big Dell fan and no longer St. Mary's. So that was kind of the first thing, was to get over this sense of going to another school. But because it was new and it was it was a women's program, it was really exciting. So I kind of thought, really, that it was nothing to do with Dalhousie. It was an opportunity to come and coach and do what I thought I really like and build a new program. Now, when I came, I was only offered a job to coach basketball, and I was the one who pushed to coach field hockey as well, because at that time, women that went to university usually played both sports, and it was a recruiting thing to be able to play both. So even though I was hired to coach women's basketball, I asked if I could coach field hockey at the same salary. That never got extra money for doing that, but that was my own doing. So the funny thing, though, about the Dalhousie connection, when I was go to Bob Hayes, who was the athletic director at the time, and say, you know, what am I supposed to do? How do you fill in this form, or what's the process for this league, or whatever. That's why I hired you. You're supposed to figure it out. So what I would do is I called my old field hockey coach at Dalhousie, Dorothy Talbot, who was still coaching at Dalhousie, and she would help me out and tell me what you should do in a certain situation. So there was really no animosity between me coming, being a student at Dow and playing for Dow, and then coming to St. Mary's. In fact, I got a lot of help, particularly from Dorothy Talbot.
Were there any other women's varsity teams at that time when you came?
At St. Mary's?
Yes,
or
at St. Mary's.
No, because remember, at St. Mary's was an all-male school up to, I believe, 1968-69. So when they started to take women's students, which I believe could have been 69, there were a number of teams in the junior varsity league. At that time, you had your varsity league and junior varsity, and a lot of schools, like Dalhousie, would have had their best players playing varsity, and the other next best 20 would be junior varsity. So St. Mary's had teams in the junior varsity league before I actually was hired in 73, and they had played basketball and field hockey. And I actually coached field hockey in the fall of 72 at the junior varsity level.
Okay.
But when I came, the idea was that they were going to hire a full-time coach and that we would begin to compete at the varsity level. So what happened at that time, so I was hired in fall of 73, and I went to the meetings. At the time was the Maritime Women's Intercollegiate Athletic Association, I believe, which is now the AUS, which combined the Men's and Women's Association. But at that time, there was just the men had their association to organize their sports, and the women had their own. So at that meeting, we had to, at St. Mary's, had to apply for varsity status. And what happened, it was agreed that we would go junior varsity for 1 year. So 73-74, we still competed at junior varsity league, and depending on how we did, it would determine whether we would be accepted into the varsity level. And we did well enough in our first year to say that we would be competitive, and we were competitive in the first year of varsity, 74-75.
When did the women's varsity program begin to expand to include other sports?
That's a good question. Now, for the first 10 years, from 74 probably to 84, the emphasis was on field hockey and basketball. We always had a women's soccer team as a club team. And then at some point in the 80s, they became varsity. In 89, we put a women's volleyball into a club league. And I believe around the 1990s, our volleyball team entered in the varsity volleyball league. So that would give us field hockey, basketball, volleyball, soccer, and now we have women's rugby, which just was 3 years ago, and women's ice hockey 3 years ago, and track and field has been off and on for the last 20 years.
Okay. What was it like to be the first female coach at St. Mary's?
It was an experience. It was for many reasons. One, I came in 1973, in the spring of 72-73, the men's basketball coach had just won the national championship. In the fall of 73, the football team won the Vanier Cup, which was a national championship, and the hockey team lost in the finals against U of T. So there was an expectation that we needed to be competitive. And so it was pretty exciting to come into such a winning attitude. But for me, one of the difficult things was to know that to be competitive, you had to recruit. So a big part of coaching today, and even then, was to go out and try to encourage the best athletes to come to St. Mary's. And St. Mary's was the first team school to really actively recruit students. So that's why they were so successful in the 70s. And by the end of the 70s, all other schools were more actively involved in recruiting. So for me, I had to go out and try to bring in some of the best athletes across Canada. And that was difficult because I probably hadn't thought that wide and broadly before. Like, I knew that I'd coached in high school, we won the provincial championships, but it was based on the kids that were at my school, not who I recruited. So I had taught at St. Pat's and J.L. Ilsley previously, so I recruited a lot of the players from there, and that made us competitive at the AUA, or the AUS, and then to be competitive nationally, we really had to go out and recruit students from outside the Maritimes.
Certainly different, though.
Yeah, and it was different, and I had was being encouraged by the athletic director at the time, Bob Hayes. He was hard for me to understand. He used to say, it's not how well you coach, it's how well you recruit. And you don't realize that because you think you win because of you, and then you realize as you coach, it's a combination, that if you don't have the athletes, it doesn't matter how good a coach you are. If they might win one or two games, but they're not going to win consistently. So you do have to go out and get the best athletes, which is what Blake Nell's doing right now to make our football team so successful. I mean, he's really amazing what he's able to do. So, and that's the thing that coaches often find the most difficult, And the hardest part of the job is that you're always selling and you're always trying to recruit kids, and your success is somewhat dependent on how well you do. So, and many reasons people stop coaching is because of not liking the recruiting. But we had actually Nancy Knowlton, who just received an honorary degree from St. Mary's, played basketball for us in 74 and had trained with the Canadian squad. And she really kind of opened my eyes and the eyes of the other girls on the team to what you could do and how much better you could be at basketball. Instead of thinking locally, you needed to think much broader. And over the years, we've had some national team players come to play at St. Mary's, Carol Turney being one, who would have been ranked the best basketball player in Canada. Donna Holman played in the Olympics. Darlene Stoica played for Canada in field hockey. And when those people played for us, we were competitive at the national level.
What would you say were some of the challenges and highlights of your coaching career at St. Mary's?
Oh, right off the bat, probably the most, the highlight was winning the field hockey championship, the AUS field hockey championship in 78. Because we had such a great group of players. So not only was it fun and rewarding because we won the Atlantic University sport, but we're all still friends today. There would be about 15, like we still see each other, we still get together. If somebody goes out of town who played on that team, we will all get together and reminisce and socialize. So that would be one of the highlights. And in that story, we actually went from winning the Atlantic University Sport Championship to compete at the CIAUs, and had the rules of field hockey not been so strict, at which they were at the time, we probably could have won nationally. But at that time, when you played field hockey, there was a rule called sticks. When you swung the ball, the stick, you couldn't have the stick above your shoulder. And we had a girl that could score on penalty corners, and it was very controlled and wonderful. But every time she'd lift her stick, she'd cock her wrist to put more power, and they would call the goals back. And we could have won a national championship, which I would say is the closest we've come in the 30 years to winning one. And so that would be since we've been varsity. And that leads to another interesting story. When we had Carol Turney and Donna Holman, who played on the national team, they actually had played for the Olympic team in 76, so they were training here with Brian Heaney as the coach of the national team, and Brian had been St. Mary's coach who took a leave of absence. So they liked Halifax and they stayed, and they played for St. Mary's. And that year we won the AUS title and then went to the national championships, and we didn't do as well as we would have liked. In hindsight, maybe a few things done differently, we could have won. But at that time, a gentleman named Jack Gray was very supportive and really interested in women's athletics, and he gave a package to the athletic director to open only when we won a national championship. And I don't know where the package is now. It had been in the president's office at one point. I'm sure it's long gone, because that would be 25 years ago, and we've never ever won a national championship. And that's kind of always sort of been something I've always thought, wouldn't it be nice if we won, and Mr. Gray, who gave us that gift, could come and either tell us what the gift was or, you know, make a fuss about it. So it would be nice if we did.
Do you have any sort of stories or fond memories of athletes that played on your teams or have gone through the program at St. Mary's?
Well, certainly I do, but Nancy Knowlton, I mentioned earlier, she just got an honorary degree from St. Mary's, and she and her husband have a company that produces smart boards, and they have revenues of over $100 million. So that's pretty impressive. But what was really neat for me was she came to visit before the ceremony, and she was the exact same. Like, it didn't really change her. I mean, here she is, her company's making many, many millions, and she was still the same person. and went out of her way to come visit. That's a good one. I mean, the team that played field hockey in 78 and won the national championship, or won the Atlantic University sport, and then we went to the CIA News, we raised money and by selling chocolate bars, and I ate a lot of chocolate bars, and we flew to England, and we went on a two-week tour of England playing field hockey, and that was really exciting, and that's something that I always remember. We went on Freddie Laker. That probably doesn't mean anything to you, but that was the first kind of discount cheap flight that was introduced in the world, and it happened to fly into Halifax, so we got to travel to England for $229 a person, which even in the 70s was a really good price. So I think 14 of us went. We had no idea where we were staying when we got over there for the first 3 days. We got out of the airport, went to Victoria Station. I picked up a van that we had for the 2 weeks, and it was obviously on the wrong side of the road, and it was standard. And we picked it up on a Friday at noon in the middle of London, and the traffic was pretty scary for some of the kids. And then we traveled all over England and Scotland and being billed by teams, and we played, and that was a wonderful experience. And that's a good memory. And those are the same group that I still keep in touch with. And then there are many others. Susan Baisley and Kim Robson were really my first two recruits when I started in 73. So they came, I had played field hockey with them on the Nova Scotia team, and they were both in high school, just going to university. Well, Susan was, Kim had already been at the Mount. So they came to St. Mary's and played field hockey and basketball. And they're still friends of mine today.
How would you say women's sport heads up? Sort of changed and expanded since when you first came?
Well, the camps would be one indication. When we first started, you would never have an all-girl camp because there just wasn't the number of girls to come start in the 70s. Now, Jill, our basketball coach, runs 3 to 4 weeks a camp, which are all female. Mm-hmm. So that just shows the number of people that are playing in basketball. The other thing that I notice, and it's, I always get such a kick out of, is if I'm walking down the street and I see a little girl walking along bouncing a basketball or kicking a soccer ball, well, you would never have seen that in the early 70s. And the other thing that's changed is when I played in university and finished, which I would have been 22, it was sort of like you didn't play after that. That's it, you were done. So I was still playing basketball when I was 27, 28, or field hockey, and people would say, "Are you still playing?" As if there was something weird. Now, if I was 50 and still playing basketball, nobody even questions it. They just say, "Isn't that great?" So I think that's a change. So there's a change, the number of people playing, the commitment to the girls to being good, the fact that there's leagues in most sports to keep playing as long as you want, and there are more teams to aspire to at the national level. So all those things have helped. And of course, like, you've got women's professional soccer, professional basketball on TV, so there's a lot more role models.
How do you think women's sport at St. Mary's has changed too to reflect the wider changes?
Well, the fact that we've gone from 2 teams to, I believe, 6 teams is one thing to show, because we've not always had the money to do it, but because the demand was there, we've had to offer those. So that's one thing. The level of our facilities has improved. The tower is wonderful to help recruit students to come and participate. The other change that I've seen, and I'm not sure if this fits in this question or the last, is that when I coached, every girl that played on the team really wanted to take phys ed, which put us at St. Mary's at quite a disadvantage. Like, as well as recruit them and convince them they wanted to come to St. Mary's, you had to convince them that they didn't want to take phys ed, which was difficult when I had a phys ed degree. But now I don't see that same trend. A lot of the women that play in sports across the country are taking business, physiotherapy, arts, science, and that not having a phys ed program is not as big a drawback for us as it once was.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think the pressures on student athletes has changed, like in terms of schoolwork and having money and that sort of thing?
No, I think that they more, probably yes, I changed my mind because when I coached the in the 70s, players didn't have part-time jobs. And now there is a trend for students to have part-time jobs, and it's a little more difficult to make sure that they can be at all practices and all games. But in the last couple of years, the fact that they put in that you can give athletic awards without, in being proud of giving them has helped, so that you can help students financially so they don't have to work. But again, you can't, I mean, it would be fine if we had enough money to help everyone, they didn't, but we just don't have the unlimited resources. Mm-hmm. But, and they practice more. When I coached, you might practice 3 days a week and play 1 or 2 days a week. Now, if you're a student, you start in September and you're expected to practice or play 7 days a week. So that's a little bit more commitment that way.
Going back to your mention of the kids' camps, when did those start?
Well, they started, I believe, in the 60s with Bob Hayes, who started a football camp. And then when I actually worked at a camp, basketball camp at St. Mary's, when I was still a high school phys ed teacher. And so at that point, basketball had been introduced, so there was football, then hockey and basketball in the early 70s. And then as our teams expanded, so have our camps. So now we offer hockey, basketball, football, volleyball, and soccer. And women's ice hockey, actually. Yeah, we do a week of that.
I used to come to the basketball camps when I was
did
little.
You?
Yeah,
Kathy.
Yeah. Do you find that some of the girls, or boys actually, who go to the camps come to St. Mary's later on and play or just as a student?
Well, we're hoping that's one of the outcome. We've never ever followed or gone back to look at what percentage of children that come to camp would end up coming to St. Mary's. But we do think it plays a role in making them comfortable being on campus, identifying with the university. So that is one of the roles of our camps. Obviously the biggest role is to teach the basic skills to children, but it also provides a summer job for the athletes.
Great. Just look at my questions here. Got out of order.
Yeah, I probably didn't help because I go off on all sorts of tangents.
Oh no, that's good. Makes me think up more questions.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you, do you think women who aren't varsity athletes, are they involved enough in sport on campus, like students, St. Mary's women's students?
Well, I think that's a really difficult thing to involve the students. I was responsible for the intramural program in the late 80s, early 90s, and one of the difficult things was to try to get more female students involved. Now, in the 90s, the way to do it was to make it social, because most of the female students that come to St. Mary's, because we don't have phys ed, we don't have physiotherapy, and we don't have kinesiology, we don't have a lot of skilled athletes. And the ones who are skilled are playing varsity, so they're actually not supposed to participate in intramurals. So in the 90s, to encourage girls to come out, we tried to make it more social, and we would involve the women more in co-ed sports, so like co-ed softball, volleyball, particularly broomball, were really popular. And then the other thing that worked really well in the 90s, and I'm pushing to have introduced again, is we used to run a women's touch football league, and we'd get certain players from the varsity team to come out and coach them and teach them the rules. And we were actually on TV a couple times for coverage because we got such a good response. And that was a very, very popular league. So the way we encouraged girls to become involved was to make it more social and chance to meet people and maybe to teach them while they were playing. And things like football, because everybody would be just starting, was fun, because it didn't matter if you would play basketball or soccer, you would still have an opportunity to be good. And now Sandra Jameson runs the intramural program, and she's good because she brings another perspective, because my background is sports and jockey things. Hers is more fitness and participation, so she's even introduced more things like ultimate frisbee contests and things that the girls can become involved in without as much skill.
Yep. Let me ask you, what are your favorite aspects of coaching, either at St. Mary's or in general?
Probably are to see kids come to St. Mary's and be responsible for bringing them here, and to see that they grew and got educated and became better athletes, and that it was a good experience for them. Because when you first start and you know that you're influencing a person to come to a certain place, there's always this concern that will it be the best match and will it be the right thing for them. And I'd say over the 15 years that I coached, there maybe be one or two that maybe it would have been better had they not come here. But overall, I think they've had an excellent experience, and that's a pleasure to see that they've grown through playing, they've grown because they've got a degree, and the friendships they've formed and still have from their days here. And then the ones that I still keep in touch with, like it's really neat every now and then to get an email from someone that you haven't seen or heard from for a number of years.
How do you think your role has changed at St. Mary's since you're not coaching now and gone into other things?
Well, there's different things. Like, I really enjoyed the challenge of setting up the intramural program, because prior to the opening of the tower, which is when I started to do the intramural program, the intramurals were run by the different coaches. So the football coach ran all the intramurals that were on the field. The hockey coach ran the intramurals on the ice, and the basketball coach ran the intramurals in the gymnasium. So I think by putting one person in charge of them and hiring students to run it, that was to me a very, very good experience. It certainly was a lot like coaching, because you had these students that you were training and you were getting to know, and they were running these programs and doing a great job at. So I think I liked that I was still working with students, but it was a different arrangement. I was actually paying them because they were being intramural coordinators. So I didn't mind the step from going from coaching to coordinator campus recreation, because I still maintained contact with the students. And then when I became manager of facilities and program, I kept Mini University, and that was a good contact with students. And I also took over promoting the squash court area, so I met a lot of students that I tried to encourage to play squash. So I didn't mind the change from coaching to campus recreation, and then to now to the manager of facilities. And because, as I said to you before we started the interview, I've been lucky. Even though I've been here for 30 years, I've done something different. Like maybe every 10 years, I get a different thing that I'm responsible for and that I can learn. So you don't get very stagnant. And then in the last 3 years, I was really lucky to work very closely with Larry Utek, because Larry was ill with ALS. So I got very much involved in athletics again by helping him. So that was an interesting experience.
Do you have any fond memories of your fellow staff, like Bob Hayes or Larry Utek or anyone else that you've worked with?
Well, if you mention the names, Bob Hayes and Larry Utek are both real characters, so you'd have to have many memories. I have lots of memories of Larry in the last 3 years, because I helped him so much, and even now when I think of him, I just can think of his bright eyes, because here he was in a wheelchair, totally unable to do anything for himself, and always you could see he was thinking, what can I do to help St. Mary's? What can I do to make the football team better? What can I do to make this program better? So that's something that I always associate with Larry and with Bob Hayes, the love of St. Mary's and the fact that they want always to do to make St. Mary's and athletics better. So certainly they are two people that stick out in my mind. Then over the years, Brian Heaney coaching the basketball team, and now I see him on TV, and Al Keefe, who coached football, Bob Boucher. They were all my friends when I first came here, and they were really helpful in taking a new coach and sort of helping show you what you had to do to win. They also showed me a little different social lifestyle than I was used to. I think that in the 70s it was a lot more alcohol and a lot more lunches with going to the Midtown, and even the students, like the students would come and drink with the coaches, the faculty and the staff, everybody used to hang out together, so it was a different atmosphere that you would not see that today, like in the 90s. And then that would be another memory, would be the Lighthouse Tavern, which was down at the bottom of Inglis and Barrington, was a place where everybody from St. Mary's that wanted to go out and socialize would hang out. So you'd have the president, the vice president, lots of senior administrators.